Cool. Okie dokie. Yep. Got tangled up in the wire just a minute. Here we go. So, if this works, where's my next slide? Come on, next slide. There we go. Last week, we began an exploration of Philippians. Firstly, we listened to an overview, which I sent the link out to during the week with some extra suggestions of how we can really get engaging with God's word. And an encouragement to view this letter as if it had been sent to us by perhaps our dearest, most beloved relative. For this is a letter that expresses Paul's deep love for this fellowship in Philippi. And it's a love that echoes through to us as a fellowship today. This week, we continue on beyond the first greetings, and we're going to be taking a look at verses 12 to 26. So we're going to hear from those straight away before we dig into our theme for today, which is live confidently.
Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but I will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ will abound on account of me.
Randy, there we go. You need those to see. Is this glass half empty or half full? Who thinks it's half empty? Okay, who thinks it's half full? Okay, more people think it's half full. Would it be clearer if you could see how this had come about? Okay. So It's all right, Steve, I'll move all technical stuff out of the way before I start flapping water about. I brought a towel as well, just in case. Ta-da! So, for example, would it be different if... So would that be half empty or half full? Okay. Now is it half empty or half full? Yeah, see? Yeah. But the problem is, if we don't know how this glass got like this, how do we determine whether it's half full or half empty? You see, this whole glass empty, glass half full is quite it's one we're familiar with. You know, it's a proverbial phrase, and it sort of, I suppose, kind of picks up how our approach to situations. Are we pessimistic, as in this glass is half empty, there's something missing, there's potential for some more to be in there? Or are we optimistic, this glass is half full, there's still water to drink? That's good, isn't it? It's excellent. And there's space for more water to be added. But that choice forces us to choose between one or the other. And I'd have to say, life is not quite so black and white, is it? Even if you're an optimist and you have a tendency to look on the bright side, being hopeful, searching for the good, even in tough situations, the reality is you're not going to be happy all the time or always able to see the positive. And if you're more of a pessimist and yet you feel like you're more of a realist, the thing is that there will also be times when you see things from a different perspective and are more hopeful. Now, the reality is that in any day or week or month, every person experiences a whole range of emotions. And I guess we could say that happy ever after thing really is the preserve of fairy tales. Except we also get to have our happy ever after when we're called home to eternity with Christ. But life in the now doesn't have those kind of neat endings, does it? Where the heroes and heroines of life, the main characters in our stories, with all their problems resolved, skip merrily off into the beautiful sunset. Is that anybody else's experience? Yawn. You've ruined my point now. Shush. Right. The thing in life is we will inevitably face obstacles. But it's how we respond to the situation that makes the difference. Now, you see, what if we take this glass and this glass? What was half in that glass is full and overflowing. So is it about perspective? I'm not going to put that down all wet and soggy there. So is it about perspective? You see, in these verses we're looking at today, it's that Paul had a different perspective. He shows us a different way to view our circumstances. He shows us a God-centered perspective. And as Paul continues in this letter, he shares how to face life with the confidence that God is at work, no matter how we view life. So we're going to take a look at these verses using the three perspectives. We're going to do the glass half empty, the glass half full, and finally, this gospel-centered, gospel-focused perspective. So in verse 12, Paul says this. He says, I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me has helped me to spread the good news. Now, a glass half empty view. Perhaps I'll need another half empty back. Hang on a minute. It's a good job I've got enough water. So a glass half empty viewpoint would be that Paul's situation wasn't really that great. After all, he's in prison. And remember that being in Roman prison was no joke. It really wasn't a pleasant experience at all. He can't now move about and preach as he has been doing. Remember, he's a tent maker. He moves around. He's been sharing the good news all over the place. He's journeyed here, there, and everywhere. So from a human viewpoint, everything seems to be working against him. But that glass half empty perspective, if we looked at it through that way, it focuses on the limitations, the challenges, and the setbacks. Rather than this, which is Paul shifting the focus on how God is using his situation for something far greater, which is spreading of the gospel, spreading of the good news. He's really clear. He has made the whole of the palace guard, not just one or two of them, but the whole of the palace guard aware of his faith in Christ. And it's that bravery, this confidence that Paul has shown, that then emboldens others to go and preach more courageously. Because after all, if Paul can go and do it in prison, and they're not in prison... They've had the courage to go and do that elsewhere. So what can look like a limitation to us is often an opportunity for God to be at work. As if we face life with a glass half empty viewpoint, it means we can get trapped or limited by the things that we can't do. So whatever your current situation is, perhaps the question we need to be asking ourselves and asking God to reveal to us is, how might he be using our current challenges for his purposes? Should have shown you that ages ago. Never mind. Because that kind of shift in our thinking can help us be intentional about choosing to see the positive no matter what we're facing. Okay. Verses 15 to 17. Let's carry on these next few verses. Here, Paul talks about the different groups that are preaching the good news. Some are doing that out of envy and rivalry, and others out of goodwill. And yet, despite those different motivations, Paul chooses to rejoice. Now, he's a fan of rejoicing. He does that rather a lot. Rather than being bitter and grumpy that people are preaching, seem to be preaching out of the wrong motives, instead, he focuses on the fact that Christ is being preached. That's what's important to him. This half glass, half full perspective is searching for the good. Even in situations that are less than perfect, Paul's joy is found in knowing that the gospel is advancing. Whatever is shared about the gospel, whatever our heart motive behind it, we have to trust that God works through our imperfections. And believe me, he's got a lot to work with to bring about his purposes. He uses us as wonderfully, beautifully imperfect people all the time. We are a conduit for God to be at work. So if we're in a situation where we're identifying that people might have not got the best intentions or where circumstances aren't ideal, we can still make a choice to focus on what God is doing through it. That might be a challenge in itself. We have to recognize it. So a question for us then is, how can we focus on the good in the midst of a difficult relationship or situation? You see, if Paul in chains, in prison, in less than ideal circumstances, can focus on the good, perhaps we need to too echo that in looking for the good in whatever we're going through. Now, it might not always be easy to spot. Sometimes we might need someone else to point out the good to us. Sometimes we're such in the thick of our situation that actually someone needs to come alongside us. And sometimes that's our role, to support others in spotting that good. But if we're intentional about looking for the good, then we are far more likely to find it. The thing is, as Paul goes on to say in verse 13, his joy is not tied to the motives of the people who are preaching the gospel. And it's not about whether he's comfortable or not. His joy is found when Jesus is proclaimed. You know, his ability to rejoice in the situation at first glance might seem slightly odd, as if he's sort of ignoring his problems. But it's not, it's more than that. It's choosing to find joy regardless of what he's going through. What about us? I wonder if we can choose to view our lives through the lens of God's work. I mean, after all, it's our priority. We are to follow after Jesus' command that he shared with the disciples in Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. It's a simple directive. Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. And if we seek to fulfill that, within that lies the potential to find joy in every circumstance. It's a shift from pessimism and optimism to a gospel-centered perspective. So in verses 19 to 26 in the next section, we see that Paul's perspective is not just optimistic. He's not just kind of like, oh, making the best of the situation. But he is anchored in the faith that he has, his confidence that God is in control regardless of what he's going through. And he knows that God's purposes will prevail, whether in life or in death. God is working his purposes out through everything. His confidence is not based on what he's going through, his circumstances, but on the truth of God's sovereignty. That Paul picks up in his letter to Ephesians, where he writes, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. And that's as true for Paul And it's as true for us and for every believer that God is over all, in all, and living through all. So this gospel-centered perspective, it transcends this, whether it's pessimistic or optimistic way of seeing things. It just rests in the absolute assurance that God is always at work. Whether we're seeing the full picture or not, and we have to admit that quite often we don't see the full picture, that sometimes we haven't got a clue why we're going through what we're doing, but we have to trust that God is always at work. So how can we have confident trust that God is working, even when the outcome is unclear, or when things just feel really hopeless, or our difficult situations just seem to go on and on and on? See, verse 21 holds Paul's famous quote, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." And for that, in those few words, I mean, how many? About 12. It's a really neat summing up of Paul's gospel-centered outlook. Whether he lives or dies, for Paul, his life is defined by Christ. If he lives, he can carry on serving Christ. If he dies, he gains eternal life with Christ. And for Paul, that is a win-win situation. It's not a, I don't know, it's not a half empty, a half full. It's a win-win all the way. It's glass full and overflowing for Paul, whichever way life turns out for him. And it's that eternal perspective that allows him to face life with unwavering confidence. What about us? We need to anchor our perspective on life in the gospel. Because when we do that, whatever life throws at us, however we're feeling in the midst of it, whether we think our glass is half empty or half full, we can trust that Christ is our ultimate goal, our ultimate joy, and he will bring eventually our happy ever after. And yet we see Paul wrestling with that desire to be with Christ, because of course that would be a vast improvement to his situation in prison. But he ultimately concludes it's preferable, actually more necessary even, for him to remain for the growth of the Philippian church. And from that, from his support of the church and all the others, that the good news continues to be shared. See, Paul's life is driven by purpose. It's not about him. It's about helping others grow in the faith. From those very first wobbly, uncertain baby steps as a new Christian, through to believers confidently walking with Christ along the way. And all the bits in between where we falter and we fall and we trip up and we make messes and we go down the wrong roads and we come back again. It's this sense of God journeying with us. Paul wants people to grow in their faith, to not just stay where they are, to keep walking, to keep getting to know Jesus better. Do we have that same purpose? Are our lives centered around the gospel and that Christ-given mandate to preach the good news and make disciples? We can shift our perspective if we can grasp what we're being asked of. It'd be lovely if we all had a lovely, comfortable life and didn't need to worry about anything. But actually, we are called as a community of believers to walk with one another, to help each other grow, and to support one another when it's tough, to point out the good when we're in the difficult situations. So how can we invest in others, invest in other people's growth of faith, to invest in other people's, to kind of walk with God? We will see God at work. And when we see God at work, we need to talk about it. We need to share it with others. We need to bear witness to that, because it can act as an encouragement to others. When they see what we've been through and where God has been at work, they can hold on with confidence to know that God will be at work in their situation too. That's got to be a good thing. When we're encouraging one another, and we're encouraging one another to spot God in all that's going on, we need to come back to Paul's expression of joy, because we can find in its roots that seeing the faith of others coming into being, it's such a joy when new believers come to faith, isn't it? When we celebrate with them through the waters of baptism. But it's also a joy when we walk with one another and we see each other's faith grow through journeying together. Because it's in sharing our experiences of God at work in our lives that can help each other to grow. How we see life, I think, is how we face life. We can face life as glass half empty and focus on what's missing, what's not there, the tough stuff. Or we can think about it glass half full and focus on the positives, that there's still water here, you know, we can add more, it's all, you know, there's more potential. But Paul's challenge says, go beyond these. Have a gospel-centered view. Remember that God is at work regardless of how things look to us. We all need a change of perspective. We can live our lives with confidence, whatever happens, because we can trust that God is at work no matter what. In all things, God is our anchor. And our lives, the tough, the challenging, the joyful, the good, the fun, everything, all of that is part of God's plan, and he will work through it all. No matter our circumstances, we too, like Paul, can live confidently by focusing on Christ. Not glass half empty, not glass half full, but seeing life through a different perspective, through a Christ-centered lens. Let's pray. Lord, help us to shift our perspective and to see life through your lens. No matter how we view what we're going through right now, give us the confidence and the courage to trust and face whatever life brings, knowing that you are at work through it all. Give us eyes to see you at work in our lives. And help us to journey with others and point out where we see you at work in their lives too, confidently encouraging each other as we do so. Lord, help us to live for you. And may our lives be a testimony of your grace and power. Amen.
The Bible talks about us having a great crowd of witnesses that cheer us on. We're going to listen to a song as we reflect on some of what Ali said that talks about some of these people like David and Moses. But you know what? We can be part of that group as well. We can cheer each other on as we face different things. So let's have a listen to this.
I'm too afraid to lose. I feel unqualified for what you're calling me to. Lord, with your strength, I got